Thank you. Today I'm going to be talking about a needs assessment that was conducted as the first step in developing an HIV and substance use prevention program for Black and Latino young MSM in New York City. I have no relationships or anything to disclose. So this program is funded by a 5-year grant from the Center for Substance Abuse Prevention, which is part of the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. And the original RFP for this required us to specify a high-risk population to whom we would provide prevention services to, and we decided to focus on Black and Latino young MSM between 18 and 29 years old living in New York City. And this decision was made based on our review of both national and city-level HIV seroprevalence data. Oh. So as you can see in these data that were just published by the CDC, Black young MSM had the highest prevalence rates of both HIV infection and unrecognized HIV infection. And further, the majority of HIV-infected young Black and Latino MSM, young MSM, were unaware of their infection. So a large percent had HIV and were not aware of their status. In terms of data from New York City, and these data are from the Department of Health in New York City, Black and Latino young MSM comprise a significant proportion of HIV-infected MSM. In fact, in 2008, Black MSM under 30 years of age represented 62% of all Black MSM newly diagnosed with HIV. So it's a significant proportion of that population. So based on these data, that's why we decided to focus on Black and Latino young MSM for this program. So the needs assessment was guided by 3 aims, which you can see here, and I'm going to go into each aim more in detail as I present them. So the first aim was to identify neighborhoods statistically associated with HIV infection among Black and Latino young MSM in New York City. And the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene has an epidemiology and field services program with whom we worked that was able to provide us with neighborhood level data on the numbers of Black and Latino young MSM between 18 and 29 who contracted HIV through same-sex contact. So in this first slide, this slide shows the number of Black and Latino young MSM living with HIV and AIDS in New York City. And the map is divided up into what are called United Hospital Fund neighborhoods. And what those are neighborhoods that consist of 3 to 6 zip codes. And there are about 41 United Hospital Funds neighborhood in the 5 boroughs of New York City. The pink dots represent HIV positive Black young MSM, and the blue dots HIV positive Latino young MSM. So if you look in the uppermost section that's highlighted in yellow, that shows where the highest proportion of HIV-positive Latino young MSM live, and that neighborhood is called West Queens. It encompasses a large proportion of Queens. I think Jamaica is included in it. And then in the bottom section that's in yellow, highlighted in yellow, that's where the highest proportion of HIV-positive Black young MSM live, and that is Bedford-Stuyvesant, Crown Heights, and East Flatbush. So those are the neighborhoods in which the highest proportion of HIV-infected Latino and Black young MSM live in the city. And the numbers of new diagnoses follow a similar pattern in terms of the neighborhoods in which the highest proportion of HIV-infected young MSM, Black and Latino young MSM live. So the second aim was to identify risk and protective factors for both HIV infection and risk behavior among Black and Latino young MSM. And this was done by conducting a literature review of studies of HIV infection and risk among young MSM. And the factors in which I looked at was the selection of factors in which I looked at was guided by an adaptation of the health belief model that was actually developed specifically to understand determinants of HIV infection among Black young MSM. This was done by Charles Coleman, who's a nursing scholar. And his primary modification to the health belief model was the addition of cultural factors such as social norms, which have been found to influence risk behavior in MSM. So just to orient you to these tables, The tables summarize the literature, the evidence that supports and does not support relationships between each factor that was selected and HIV infection and HIV risk. So HIV infection is the second and third column from the left, and then HIV risk, the fourth and fifth column. Studies were categorized by whether the results were reported for all young MSM, which meant it was a racially diverse sample that included Black and Latino young MSM, but there were no analyses conducted by those subgroups, exclusively Black young MSM and exclusively Latino young MSM. And the number refers to the number of studies that supported or didn't support the relationship. So I want to go through a couple of the factors for which consistent results emerged. One was perceived susceptibility, so there was support for the relationship between high perceived susceptibility or an individual's assessment of their risk of acquiring HIV in their lifetime and risk behavior. Consistent support for the relationship between having a steady partner, primary partner, a lover, a boyfriend, and engaging in risk behavior, which is consistent with, I think, all of the literature across age groups. Finding that I really want to draw your attention to is the risk for HIV infection and risk behavior for young MSM who have an older partner. And I think this is really important literature to pay attention to. In fact, a recent study found that young MSM aged 23 years or younger had a significant 2.5-fold increase of odds of HIV infection when his sexual partners were 5 years his senior. And that was done by Christopher Hurt. And an earlier study by Trista Bingham in Los Angeles found that Black young MSM were more likely than other young MSM to report having anal sex with exclusively Black partners, and they were significantly more likely than other groups of young MSM to have a male partner of a different age group. In this study, the relative odds of HIV infection among Black young MSM decreased by 20% after adjusting for older sexual partners and anal sex with Black partners. So this is a really important finding to look at in terms of partner choice. There's also consistent evidence around the relationship between poor communication skills or negotiation of safer sex and HIV risk behavior, as well as substance use in the context of sex. There's some initial support for the buffering effect of family support on HIV infection and HIV sexual risk behavior. This is an emerging body of research. And what's really interesting is there's very consistent evidence that's been done specifically with Black young MSM that's found a relationship between peer norms that support condom use, or in this case, I phrased it as unsupportive peer norms around condom use, and that increases risk behavior. There is also fairly consistent evidence that Black and Latino young MSM are more likely than white young MSM to be HIV infected, as we saw in the earlier slides with the CDC data. However, there's little evidence, as you can see, that Black and Latino young MSM are more likely to engage in risk behavior. So that it leaves a sort of question mark in terms of, well, what would explain the disparity between rates of infection between white young MSM and Black and Latino young MSM. And I think the studies that I just talked about earlier in terms of sex with older partners and where infections might be taking place might be at least one piece to that puzzle. Because, for example, if Black young MSM have older Black MSM as sexual partners, which is a population that has a higher background prevalence of HIV, then this may account for the higher seroprevalence rates. A community attachment, I believe that findings around community attachment are mixed, likely because community attachment is a very complex construct to operationalize, and studies rarely operationalize it the same way. Cultural factors, very little evidence to support the relationship of lack of knowledge around HIV and risk behavior. There is limited but supportive evidence around the relationship between religiosity and HIV risk and discrimination, HIV sexual risk behavior, but there's very little of this research among MSM and particularly Black and Latino young MSM. In terms of age, very consistent evidence that older age is associated with HIV infection. This is, I think, another consistent finding across populations. And few studies have found that age is associated with HIV sexual risk behavior. And the majority of available evidence does not support the relationship between a non-gay sexual orientation and HIV infection or sexual risk behavior. Thank you. Finally, the third aim was to identify existing services and gaps in care for Black and Latino young MSM in New York City, and we did this by speaking to different agencies that provide services to LGBT youth and looking at the websites of organizations. As you can see, New York City is very fortunate and unique in the number of organizations that we have specifically for LGBT youth and for the LGBT community in general, and I certainly recognize that this isn't the case for all settings, whether urban or non-urban. In terms of the services that are provided, health education was provided at a lot of the agencies. However, only three of the sites reported using DEBIs, which I thought was interesting since DEBIs are usually tied to CDC funding and other funding sources. And only four of the sites that offered mental health actually had psychiatric services. And as you can see, very few had substance use services. Concrete services were frequently offered, case management being the most frequently offered, whereas housing and legal services were not offered as much. Housing, of course, is always a need in with any population. And support services were also frequently offered. A lot of the programs had recreation, drop-in centers, a lot of great opportunities for socialization. So in conclusion, some of the conclusions of this, HIV infections among Black and Latino young MSM are concentrated in the outer boroughs of the city. Partner choice could impact the disproportionately high rates of infection among Black and Latino young MSM, and that we do have a lot of organizations that provide services to youth, yet there are gaps in care. So based on this, a few of the recommendations we made for the program were to integrate HIV testing regularly, every 6 months into the program, particularly because of the high rates of unrecognized HIV infection. Also that prevention efforts should focus on safer sex negotiation, particularly in the context of age discrepant relationships. And this brings up a really important challenge for HIV prevention, because there's no intervention to date that's ever addressed age discrepant relationships. And because the data is really showing that infections are taking place, we really need to start thinking about how we're going to address particularly safer sex negotiation in the context of these age discrepant relationships. And I think one of the reasons that we don't address it is because they make us uncomfortable, there's stigma around them, and we immediately can pathologize a relationship between an older person and a younger person. So it stands to reason that a younger person's not going to want to talk about those things. So I think we need to examine the absence and omission of this in HIV prevention activities. Peer-based approaches are a very good idea in terms of, particularly since the research supports the role of peer norms in risk behavior. And there are interventions that use peer norms, such as DEUP, which is a new DEBI that's an adapted version of the popular opinion leader intervention. That was an interesting slip of the tongue. Outreach efforts should focus in Brooklyn and Queens, although that doesn't mean services should be offered in Brooklyn and Queens. We need to be very aware of that, because a lot of times the youth like to come into Manhattan because they don't want to receive services in their neighborhood for fear of unintentional disclosure. Interagency collaboration is important, particularly since so many of our community partners provide services that that our youth could take advantage of, and that we want to make an effort to connect them with those services. So quickly, what happened? Well, we have a new program that came out of this needs assessment. It's called Outstanding Beautiful Brothers. It's a fraternity-based model in which participants are trained to become peer health educators using the DEUP intervention that I mentioned, the popular opinion leader intervention. HIV and STI testing are provided at assessment and six-month reassessment. We have a mental health and substance abuse counseling component provided by a master's level clinician to respond to that lack of substance use prevention services, and care coordination will be provided to connect clients with concrete services at GMHC and at other agencies in the city. And these are some of the people that have helped in this project. Thank you.